This is the Horse Radio Network.
Hey there, this is Lesson 11 of the Equine Clicker 101 podcast on the Horse Radio Network, using the clicker while in the saddle. Equine Clicker 101 is a podcast that takes you to the class to learn and practice clicker training for your horse. Please support our sponsors as they make this show possible.
One of the roadblocks to effective training is often a stressed gut. A horse in pain or worried about his digestion cannot give you his full attention.
We travel the country teaching clinics, so we know what stress does to a horse. That's why we were so impressed by Triple Crown's specialized forages.
If you have a horse who struggles with ulcers or goes off feed when traveling, look for stress-free forage. It's an alfalfa-based chopped supplement. It's fortified to specifically support a healthy gut.
And for our sensitive horses, the metabolic horse, the laminitic horse, or those with poor teeth, safe starch forage is a complete low NSC diet featuring vitamins, minerals, and the revolutionary Equimix technology for digestive support.
Triple Crown gives you the research-backed tools to address your horse's unique needs.
Give your horse the comfort and consistency he needs to thrive. Ask your dealer about Triple Crown forages today.
This is Shauna Karish, and in today's lesson, we are going to learn about how to utilize a clicker while in the saddle. A lot of times what people do, they say, yeah, this is great for tricks, this is great for husbandry behaviors, veterinary stuff, but you couldn't possibly use it in the saddle. Well, we're going to debunk that myth today. It's a theme. What it's a behavior is a behavior is a behavior. It doesn't make any more sense to the horse that we're on their back versus on the ground. It's just an orientation shift. So we are going to shift and take it to undersaddle so we can address some of the issues we might have undersaddle, but we also really start to create a really strong connection undersaddle, and the horse starts to think this is great fun and even can help negate some of the work that goes with kind of ridden work when we're trying to exercise them. So we're going to get to that.
What most people want is a deeper bond with their horse, a partnership built on trust, not just compliance. Our mission is to make that successful journey simple and sustainable.
That journey starts with our Shauna Karish Equine membership. Think of it as a massive organized library of success. You instantly get access to all of our courses and training videos, making the science of positive reinforcement easy to apply.
Beyond the content, you join a supportive, judgment-free community. It's a safe place to ask questions, celebrate victories, big or small.
We're always refining our website, addressing current topics and adding valuable content in addition to keeping up with the newest advances in equine behavior.
So trot on over to shaunakarish.com to learn more about our amazing community, courses, Q&As, learning labs, and so much more.
You know, I think this is one of the funnest and funnerer and most rewarding parts of work with my horse. I know that horses are awesome whether you can ride them or not. And there's so much we can do on the ground. An old horse doesn't mean it's a horse you should get rid of. I have plenty of fun, lots of agility things or fun things to do on the ground. But I think it's really awesome when I've really established a nice history on the ground with my horse and a good relationship. I love being able to take it to under saddle in a way that feels quite beneficial for both of us. And so I think taking the stuff to under saddle to me is very exciting and in a way that I feel like the connection is really strong. So taking the positive reinforcement under saddle, using the clicker under saddle is actually it's not as complicated as people think. People assume you can't do it here, but you actually can. And I'm going to tell you a story that is, so I have my little guy, Murray. He's my young off-the-track thoroughbred who really was quite worried about the world. And so he is now just turned 6 because it's just after January, but technically he's still 5. And he's an immature 5. And so when I started working with him, I worked on the ground for a few months. And it took a bit till I felt like he wasn't just doing it for the food. He actually was doing it for me, and he had heart, and he would try beyond his comfort level, and he would be, you know, really give me things. You know, something new, I think I'll kick. He would think, you know, you're trying something new. I'm going to see what it's about, you know, so it took a bit. So then as we moved to under saddle, I just went slow. I was like, we don't need much. We can go slow. We'll go at your pace. I wanted to be sure that one, I did have a horse that would slow down when I asked. I don't know. That seems important to me on a green horse. But I also wanted to be sure that he felt that this was something that didn't take him over threshold. It wasn't a worried place. It wasn't a just responding to things. I wanted him listening to me and what we were doing and feeling like it was good. Well, we went along and I've gone rather slowly with him by design. You know, I'm not in any hurry. And then I travel and do stuff in between. So we haven't even cantered under saddle yet, but we'll get there. We'll get there coming up pretty soon. And one day I brought him in. We have one of those Eurosizer walkers. So he's out there in the walker and I stopped to get him out to bring him in to get him ready. And the horse behind him was, she was just all worked up and trying to push the thing and get her head through and being really pretty bold. And he was getting worried about it. So he was over threshold. I get him out. We close the door. I take him to the cross ties to start getting him ready to ride. Well, now the guys are working in the barn aisle, pulling up the mats right next to the cross ties. Him just getting more and more worried. And I thought, okay, he's tacked up by now, but he is now kind of riled. And I thought, what can I do to help you to settle? Should I take your tack off and put you back in a paddock? Should I take your tack off, put you in your stall? And then you know what I realized? One of the times he is the most settled, and he's a thoroughbred. He's a bright, you know, a lot of energy horse. I realized the time he's most settled is when we're under saddle. And so I thought, I'm going to walk you to the mounting block and see. And if you feel like you're too much, we'll change our plans. But I got to the walk to the mounting block and I felt him settle. I got in the stirrup, put my leg over, and I felt him settle even more. And we just went to a nice, relaxed little work. And you could feel the tension just melt away out of him. Now, the reason that is because all of those pieces of working with him under saddle, I made sure that I used the positive reinforcement. I classically conditioned essentially each of those cues where it was, you know, he learned to respond nicely and softly to the cue. But by this point, it is actually something that he really likes. And it has a good frame of reference in his mind. He likes all that. And that helped him know that world. So that wouldn't be the response I might expect if he didn't have this positive reinforcement woven into his history of this under saddle stuff with me. So that is my goal for everybody, that even as we get more excited and do things, we will be doing jumping if, you know, all goes according to my plan, but that we will work towards jumping. But I want him to be able to find that just as enjoyable, that we can go up and we can come back down. And he thinks it's all great and fun, as opposed to getting nervous and over threshold, that his energy can go up and then it can come back down. In one of the earlier episodes, we talked about teaching impulse control. And this is where impulse comes in quite a bit, where I really want to take those lessons that we learned on the ground at impulse control and make sure that they're working under saddle. So for a horse like Murray, who is big and bright and too much horse, I'm going to reinforce. I'm going to click and feed those downward transitions quite a bit. The times I feel him not only have a downward transition, but start to relax and settle into that downward transition. And boy, can you feel it so much stronger under saddle than you can even from the ground. Now, if I had a horse who tend to be the types like, nope, don't really want to go forward, don't really want to go anywhere, then what I would work on in that side is I would actually be clicking movement and upward transition, trying to build a better reinforcement history, a better association with going forward, where pretty soon he's thinking, you know what? When I go forward, good things happen. We'll have an episode that addresses directly upward transitions and downward transitions and how to create them with a positive reinforcement tools, because it's actually really simple and you don't have to go to all the old things that they have learned and know so well. We have new tools that we can use that creates it. And then pretty soon, like, well, I want to go forward, you know, and you're like, yay. So that'll be another episode. But for today, we want to go back to how do we introduce it to being part of our ridden routine and our ridden work together. One of the things I do when I first get to a brand new horse that I'm going to be working with that is, and a really good example is one of our horses, Primo. And Primo is an off-the-track thoroughbred, but he has been a school horse. So he has been he has been more history with being ridden. But frankly, his ridden history is kind of like I get on, I people get on who don't know what they're doing, and I just do what I do, you know, and I hollow my back and I don't round and I do all these different pieces. And so he has a history. He can do it. He's safe. But what I want to do is turn it into one that actually is something he finds enjoyable and looks forward to. And so what we'll start off doing is when I'm working with a new horse, like taking a horse like Primo, even though he knows these things, what I do is I go back and like baby steps, I click and reinforce each and every little behavior. So I start small because what I want to do, while they may know this behavior, the reinforcement history and how they learn this behavior most often has been taught with pressure and release. That's really kind of the go-to. That's part traditional training. That's part of natural horsemanship. Do you remember when we talked about when we teach with negative reinforcement, which is traditional training, pressure release? It is a removal of the pressure. And then we teach with positive reinforcement, which is the addition of an appetitive or something that they like food. They found, neurobiologists have found, that they actually use a different part of their brain or tend to use a different part of their brain for the different types of learning. And with the negative reinforcement, it really tends to activate and light up, you know, as they're watching when they test this, it lights up the part of the brain most often, and the part associated with fight or flight. But with positive reinforcement, it tends to light up the part associated with the seeking system. So with those different areas, they tend to produce different chemicals and hormones, which result in things like one for the fight or flight area, it's more cortisol and things that are stress hormones. With positive reinforcement, it tends to be the seeking system, which is more dopamines and endorphins. So the resulting behavior and history and feelings that go with it can be quite different. So what I want to do is be sure that I'm building a positive reinforcement history with each little piece of the training, if I can. So when I first get on a brand new horse, I simply ask him to stand still to mounting block, reinforce him for that. And we talked about that in the last episode. But the next thing we can do is as I ask them to walk off, if they walk off nicely with a nice soft cue, I can click and reinforce them. So I click and I stop them and reinforce them. Now this way I'm starting, they're starting to go, wait, what? When and what I'm clicking for, and remember, you're always clicking the behavior you want to see more of because they're going to pay attention to what earned them the click when the click has been properly trained. And you can go back to the first couple episodes and get that sorted out if this is a new concept for you. So the clicker is really important that it's understood, but they always remember what earned me the click. So when I click for them going forward, they think, oh, what was I just doing that got me the click, which now got me the food? They remember that it was walking forward. So even though we stop and feed, they're thinking, what was the thing that told me I earned the reinforcer? And that was a click, which happens during the feed. And then I'll go on a bit and I may ask them to walk on again. And perhaps I ask them for a simple turn to the right. If they give me a nice response to that cue, I reinforce them quite nicely for that. So I click again and feed. So now they're starting to get the idea that, wait, food's going to come in this equation. And it's always when the click happens. So we always, can't say this enough, we always click on what we want to see more of. Now, so, and then I continue, turn to the right, turn to the left, stop, go, you know, and I build it up till it's in the trot and it's in the walk. And I reinforce quite heavily in this early part because I'm really trying to do something we call counter conditioning, something that maybe or maybe not has a neutral or maybe not a great history, depending on the horse. I want to weigh it really heavily. I want to rebalance those scales so it is strongly associated with positive reinforcement and endorphins and dopamines and things that are good. So I just build that reinforcement history in a little bit. I just take, yeah, probably take 3 or 4. You could even take a week, just simple little sessions just to build that up a bit so that you know that you're building a good, strong reinforcement history behind that behavior. Now, I'm going to tell you a lot of times when we first get on in the saddle, that a lot of times what they do when we click, they'll look around like, or they just ignore it. They think that doesn't matter unless the person's on the ground. And that's usually because they have a strong history with ridden work being quite different. So you get in the saddle, they kind of presume and fall into habits that have been longstanding habits. So they're like, I know, I go forward, we do this, we do that. And they do pick up on our habits. So when I first click in the saddle, if I don't feel like they're listening, I stop them and reinforce them to let them know that that click actually does mean something under saddle, but they can kind of compartmentalize that if we're not careful. So we want to turn it into, this is the same training. The click means the same thing. The other question I get quite a bit is, how do you carry a clicker under saddle? So what I do is I actually have a clicker that has, I drill holes in, I sell these stick clickers. And I also have come up with a prototype with, it's like a little telescoping target, but it can be really short that it has, I can attach the clicker to that telescoping stick. So it makes it a really easy way to carry it. I learned to ride using a riding stick, so I can, because I learned traditionally, and I can use that clicker very simply and I can carry it. So that's a really easy way for me to do it. Other people have come up with other things, or they've attached it to, you know, the saddle bag clip or that little strap across the, you know, that has various names, the strap across the saddle. So you can do that as well. Another thing I will do down the road a little bit, a lot of times I'll also teach a verbal bridge signal. So I can just use a verbal cue, but I use it distinctly. So I use the word okay. But, you know, when we're talking, we're riding, we're doing things, I may say okay or good boy, or I may say 1,000 things. So I make sure that when I say okay, I deliver it in a way that is not conversational. So I make it kind of, I mean, frankly, it sounds a little bit abrupt because I say, okay, you know, it's kind of sharp and they can hear that. And that's not how I'd say it if I was sitting on my horse and conversing with somebody. So I have shifted to using that as a bridge signal as well. So those are kind of some things that you can look to and try out for yourself. But anyway, so now we have the clicker, and we've started the beginning of building up the reinforcement history with their basic behaviors that they already know. But I'm going to tell you, the more time you take in putting on that, that you start reinforcing those things, the stronger this relationship is going to change under saddle, and the quicker your progress can go. I know for a lot of people, there might be particular things that are challenges under saddle. You know, like somebody will come to a clinic and they're saying, I'm having trouble with flying lead changes. I'm having trouble with the left lead. I'm having trouble with going forward. I'm having trouble with, you know, a dozen different things. And we're going to address some of those in later issues, you know, later lessons as we go on. But let's say it's something simple. So there's ways to remedy things that are really issues and you need to think outside the box because the same old thing isn't working. But sometimes you have something that's just kind of a little hit or miss. As you get this kind of the positive reinforcement going under saddle, you can start addressing that a little bit. Let's say, you know, sometimes he has a clean, you know, left lead canter, and sometimes he doesn't. Okay. You kind of ignore the times that he doesn't do it correctly. I just carry on till you know, and click when he is going nice and in a nice forward canter like you like. But the times that he does, and however you can set him up to get him to figure it out, but the times he does give you a nice clean left lead canter, you click and you feed that moment right then and there. Now, so, and then what you're starting to do is saying, yes, every time you give me a clean one, you've just may have earned yourself an opportunity for a reinforcement. So if the behavior's a little sticky and tricky, I would reinforce it every time for a bit until I feel like it's quite consistent. And then I would start saying, well, now I'm not going to click it every time. But I also think this is a really important part of the training game, is being sure that we don't get stuck at the criteria. So at first you may click those first 3 or 4 or 5 good, clean left lead canters. At the moment he picks up the canter depart, the moment you know it's a clean depart, you go, yep, that's what I like. And I click that and I click it and I click it. And then as it's feeling more consistent, I'd say, that's great. Now let's put another stride on that. So I'd go, oh, that's great. You know, I might even say good boy, but I'd support and keep my aid there until I got, you know, a stride, and then 2 strides, and then 7 strides, and then 8 strides, and build it up till you have the duration on that behavior. So people are like, well, how are you going to possibly ride if you're clicking and feeding everything. But as you build up that good reinforcement history, pretty soon you're going to go beyond that. But if you don't break it down and draw attention to it and you click somewhere else down the road, you're not actually drawing attention to this particular behavior. So you need to draw attention to it. Just be patient. You'll get past it. So, and then as you build up your reinforcement history, so let's say this is great, you know, you're doing great. And now we canter, you know, all the way around the arena after your nice clean canter apart, and they're very solid. Then once in a while, I go back and I click immediately when they, you know, right at the canter apart, so that they don't get in the habit of thinking, well, that part doesn't matter anymore. Only thing that matters is my nice forward canter or my nice balance canter or whatever, you know, it might be. So by once in a while saying thank you early on with something, you help keep it really good. So you keep the energy still good in the beginning. One of the things, like when we worked with the dolphins, you know, that we taught them to do bows, which is just a hop, you know, a jump out of the pool and back in the water and back in the water. And so we would teach them to do bows until they heard their bridge signal. That's how I use the bridge signal, is they keep going until they hear the click. We didn't use clickers. We used whistles. We didn't call it clicker training, but you get the idea. And so, but if we always bridge, let's say we always use the whistle or the clicker on the sixth bow, pretty soon the first bow, which used to be nice, is going to be, get it flatter and flatter and flatter, because they're going to be like, this one doesn't really matter. Only the sixth one matters. So number one would be low, two would be a little higher, three would be a little higher, four would be a little higher, five were reaching criteria, and six would be to criteria. So by breaking that up and sometimes taking the takeoff, sometimes taking the first bow, sometimes the fourth bow, sometimes the eighth bow, sometimes the 12th bow, sometimes the sixth bow, we keep them guessing. They don't know when it's going to happen. And it helps keep that criteria nice and high and the energy high, because it's keeping some uncertainty in the game and some, you know, we just saying thank you anytime, any place. So I know there's a lot more to go with under saddle, but what we really wanted to cover today is how do we get started under saddle? And I think that we've probably given you a fair share to get started with. So I want you to think about those things and remember, slow it down. And I know it's going to treat them like a baby. So in this early, you know, the first week or so, think about how you would work with a baby horse. You wouldn't drill things. You wouldn't go over and over. You would just say, hey, that's great. Hey, that's great. Hey, that's great. Short and sweet, extra reinforcing. So giving food for each of those little things that they're responding to. And remember, what are the aids? I mean, the aids are essentially cues. And what we want is a nice, easy response to the lightest cue. So if I just can say, can you go forward and just shift my seat just a little, and he goes forward, and I can use a verbal bridge signal, which, by the way, a lot of times using the verbal bridge signals on the, or not bridge signals, I'm sorry, the verbal cues on the ground, whether you're doing liberty leading or you're doing reverse round pen stuff, using the same verbal signals and then pairing them under saddle with your under saddle cues is a great way to give them extra clarity as you move forward. So as you get on and you ask him to go forward, if he doesn't go forward, instead of raising pressure, what I'd like you to do is just sit for a second, you know, just like a second and a half, and just don't do anything, and then ask again. And then as soon as he gives you a good one, I want you to click and feed. So now you're starting to put something in it for your horse. Through traditional training, what is in it for your horse to go forward or to do a flying lead change? There's not that much in it. But now as we start to put something in it that they value, this is a game changer. Now they become invested in the training, invested in the outcome of the training. And this really changes things. And maybe some of your, and as we go into, and it starts to get work oriented, like we start thinking, well, now I want you to trot, you know, for longer and longer and longer, build up slowly so that we're kind of negating some of the work that goes into the ridden work, you know, so it's not all work. And we're being sure that we have them in shape to be able to maintain the next places. I think a lot of times people, well, I've seen this, and a lot of times people get on, then they said, I haven't ridden all winter, now it's springtime, and they go out for a 4-hour trail ride. Well, that, you know, the horse isn't in shape for that. Of course, that's going to be aversive in a lot of ways, because as they get sore and their muscles can't really support that. So we break it down slower and build it up slower and let them build the correct muscles and work on balance and work on, you know, building the duration on things. You take a lot of the kind of the unpleasant impact out of the training. So going slow is better. One of the things I say a lot, which you've heard me already say, slow down, you'll go faster. So slow down and help your horse to respond nicely to the cues, for him to think there is something in it for me, and then build up slowly to help him get the balance and the endurance that he needs. And if you need, if you're kind of a new rider who isn't balanced, I'm going to strongly encourage you to go to somebody that can help you to learn how to be better balanced, to get your horse in a better balanced situation. But don't lose what you've decided to do with the positive reinforcement history. You stick with it. You find a trainer who will work with you with that, but somebody that can maybe also help you to kind of get more balance yourself, because sometimes we all need a little help. Anyway, so I think that's a pretty good start. And I hope I've covered some pieces and we're really going to get to it. In meantime, what I want you to do and think about all the things you need when you're under saddle.
I had horses struggling with their health. Shelly hooves, sensitive feet, and a worrisome metabolic state. Despite my best efforts to improve their diet, I felt like I was still missing a key solution.
After doing a deep dive into nutrition, Jesse and I learned that even with quality feed, the form of the mineral matters most. Many supplements are traditional mineral sources that have lower bioavailability, which means a horse's body can struggle to use them efficiently.
Kiss Trace uses the highest quality minerals for superior absorption. Within a few months, a transformation began to happen. My horses became sound. I noticed them starting to play more because they felt good, and their coats became brilliant and shiny.
Kiss Trace is a family-created product built on passion for quality. Jesse and I have been feeding it for years with great results, and that's why we love it so much. Give your horses the nutritional foundation they need for optimal health. Find Kiss Trace at thornybottomfarm.com. That's T-H-O-R-N-E, bottomfarm.com.
Okay, now it's part two of our show, and this is going to be the part that is the lab time. Now we're going to go out and we're going to practice some of the things we just talked about. So what you need to do is you need to, first of all, get your horse or get some the supplies you need for your horse. With today's lesson, you need a horse who's tacked up and ready to go. Now, I'm also going to say you don't have to use tack. That's up to you. You know, I think there's a lot of great things we can do without tack. I would say for these early lessons, if your horse is rather green, this isn't the time to necessarily go bridleless probably, but we can work on that later. But, you know, so get your horse tacked up, whatever it is you kind of normally do or going to feel comfortable doing with the ridden work. Go ahead, get your horse ready for that. I want you to get your food ready. So you have a bucket or, in this case, a fanny pack. If you're in the UK, do not say fanny pack. We'll call it a bum bag. But I would get a, you know, a bum bag or fern rack and fill it with some food. I'm also going to tell you a little trick I like is to use some of the, I like to use just feed under saddle for this. I find it dissolves nicely in their cheek if they hang on to it. I don't tend to use carrots as much because I think it's a hard thing that doesn't, if they pack it in their cheek, it won't dissolve. So get yourself some nice food in there, whatever you think your horse will like, and you can use anything. And then get them to a safe place where you're ready to ride, and we will go ahead and get started. So you get your horse in a good place, you turn off your podcast. When you are all ready and you have your pieces in place, turn it back on, and we will get started. I'm going to go get ready myself. Okay, so for today and lab time, I'm working with a horse named Nico. And Nico has a ridden history, but his ridden history is actually rather tense and fearful. So he kind of tends to have a, He seems to feel, to me, it seems like he's gotten in trouble a lot for under saddle stuff. He seems to be really wary about stuff. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not, or sometimes people are quite nice, but they can be, the horse might not understand what was asked of him, and it can be unsettling. So what I'm really looking for with him is relaxation. I am definitely not going to be trotting with him today because that is going to take him up too fast to be over threshold. So I'm working with a little bit more of a special case. Sometimes it's just a horse who's neutral with everything, but that's not really Nico's case. Okay, so I've got my, I have a stick with a, like I said, with a clicker on it and with a little ping pong tennis ball on the end. So I have that for my clicker to work with, and I have a fanny pack full of feed. So here is Nico. We're going to walk him in. And he, I know he doesn't have a problem with mounting, so that is not something I really have to address here. And if you do, I would address that separately if you can. Sometimes we can't. We got to do it on the fly. But anyway, so here he is. Got my stirrups down. All right, perfect. And I'm getting up. Okay, I'm in the saddle now. I'm going to click and I'm going to feed him. And remember from our mounting exercise, a lot of times what I do once I'm in the saddle, I want to feed from the outside. If we always feed from the inside, there's a real tendency they start to get where they want to turn to you on the inside. I would rather him get on and look to the outside, which puts his barrel closer to the mounting block. So that was terrific. Now, he's eating for a second, and I give him a little bit more time. He does have a simple snaffle on, so I make sure I want to give him time to chew and enjoy his food in between. I don't want to go too quickly and go, yeah, but you can't eat it, let's go. I want him to chew it and sort that out a bit. Now, he's a horse I like to work towards a bitless bridle, work with horses. He's not one that's ready for that. He's a little too uncertain. I need to be sure that we've got relaxation and clarity. And I think for him, introducing something new in this juncture would probably make him feel more uncertain and more worried. So I'm using some pieces that are familiar, and I'm going to use them as softly and clearly as possible. Okay, so he is ready. So I'm just going to use my seat and tiny bit of leg and ask him to walk on. And he walked on, and I'm clicking immediately and feeding. Now see, this barely feels like riding, does it? Good boy, Nico. There you go. And what I do, and maybe I haven't clarified this part. When I'm in the saddle and I click, all I do is lean down and reach over towards their mouth. Sometimes, and Nico didn't have a problem with this, but he's a foodie, let's just say. But some horses do have a problem with this. Sometimes I have to pull the rein a little bit over till they get the idea to get the food. One of the things you may notice, I'm gonna give him another mouthful, hang on a second. Good boy. And another thing that you may notice is that sometimes they'll be really soft and easy to bend on one side, and then you go to the other side and it's all stiff and tight. Well, they'll work it out. I promise you, in about a week, they won't be tight on either side. So don't worry about that, but help them out while you need to. Pretty soon they're going to get the idea. When I hear that click, I'm going to start checking in for some food. The other little pro tip I have for you is feed from different sides. So I don't want them just naturally flying to the right. I'm going to sometimes feed from the right, sometimes feed from the left. I'm going to see their eye kind of forward and their head forward, and you can see the side of their eye trying to watch which way you're going to go. So if they go to one side, I tend to go to the other for a little bit till they get the idea that it's easier just to watch them wait. Okay, so he's done chewing, kind of looking at me expectantly, actually. So I'm going to ask him to walk on. So he's walking on, and he's walking on. Right now, Nico kind of has his head a little bit high. He's not sure what's happening. He knows this is something different. I'm just going to keep going. I'm not asking for anything more. I'm just supporting with my seat. There we go. Okay, perfect. So now I just clicked and fed again. And what I clicked Nico for is that he kind of had his head high and was watching and his back a little bit hollow. And that's not really a good way for him to go. So I waited till he relaxed a little bit. And boy, can you feel that relaxation when you're in the saddle. You can feel when those little that back and shoulder kind of lets go a little bit. But I could also see it because his head went down a bit. Now, the head going down a bit doesn't mean the back's coming up, but it's better than the head up. So we'll start there. Maybe ultimately what I want to do is that head down and that back up. And so I really feel like he's stretching and using himself. But for now, I'm just going to take that head not being up. We'll work on kind of the rest of it eventually. But for now, I just wanted him to soften a little bit and relax and move forward and use his head a little bit more for walking versus watching me. So that was great. And he's eating. Okay. So I think he's about ready. And I'm going to ask him to walk on again. Okay, so we asked him to walk on. And he goes quite quickly. He's not a slow one about the going. He wants to try more than not. But this is a challenge with him. So we're still walking and he's being good. And he's kind of softened his head just a little bit. Now I'm going to ask him to go to the right. Good. And just softly. I just did a soft little opening rein and a little shifting of my hips. And that was great. He did it nice. I clicked and I fed again. So again, I'm trying to make each of these cues have a stronger reinforcement history behind them, so he's more apt to respond to these different pieces. And of course, we're barely riding right now. It really is more in the saddle, trying to build the reinforcement history with the cues. So where I was about to say with him is he is not the type of horse that is more apt to go slow. He's more apt to be the horse who gets nervous and too quick. So everything I'm really looking for with him is the slower, the more relaxed, the slower, the more relaxed, so that he kind of settles a bit and learns that it's okay. One of the best things I can do for him today is not turn this into a work session. He has had a lot of time with people really trying to get him to work better under saddle, and he's had some challenges, some physical challenges as well as emotional, and that hasn't helped him to feel confident about this. He actually seems to feel quite insecure about this. Okay, so that was good. I'm going to ask him to walk on again. And we're going to walk on. We're kind of hitting the corner of the arena. So I'm going to make a right-hand turn. We're just going to keep walking. And then I'm going to ask for a circle in a bit. Just a big circle. I don't want it tight. I'm going to ask for a circle. And then I'm going to ask for a halt. So I'm not going to get the whole circle. I just want him to bend to go into the circle. So I'm getting off of the wall of the, I'm in an indoor arena. So as we go, okay, and ho. Perfect. Okay, so that was really good. Again, his head went a little high. I clicked and fed because I like that he hoed, period. His head went kind of high. He got a little hollow. But at this point in time, I'm picking one criteria at a time. And the criteria is respond to my cue, respond to my cue, respond to my cue. I will look for times when he can do it with a little bit softer, and that may not happen today, but that doesn't matter. I'll just keep working on getting the response to the cue. Do you know one of the things that happens? I'm gonna feed him again. So we're just standing for a little bit. One of the things that happens is clarity is our friend in training. And a lot of times when the horse begins to understand what it is they're being asked for, they a lot of times will relax about it. You get more relaxation because they know what it is. So instead of going, oh, I don't know, I'm not certain, am I doing the right thing? You can tell they're like, oh, I know what that is. And then they softly can give you that behavior. And so as we get this a little more clear for Nico, I think he's going to let go of some of that worry about what is he doing wrong or where's this going to go. And the next week with him, I'm not going to do anything but walking slow and quiet. So he can let go of the work he associates with it that I suspect has something to do with his worry. Okay. So now we're going to do it again. I'm going to ask him to walk straight this time. So we kind of started our circle, but I'm going to kind of walk straight and turn it to going straight across the arena. So I ask him to walk on. Nice. And he went on. He's still lifting his head a little bit when we first go, but that's okay. He then settles a bit more into his head being a bit more level. And what I keep now is starting to click when I feel like right there. When I feel like, so I'm clicking and I clicked and now I'm feeding. What I like there is he kind of started giving me a little bit more of a fluid walk. So his walk was a little bit stubby feeling to me. You know, like he's like a little bit not sure. And then he relaxed his head a little bit, but he wasn't quite as fluid and big walk. And that time I felt like it kind of went, oh, okay. And he stretched into it and he just walked on quite nicely. So I felt like he then settled into walking, which is nice. That's what I want. It really is all about relaxation with him, in addition to building that reinforcement history where he likes his cues and his cues create a relaxed but bright response. I always talk about I want relaxed energy. I want a horse that goes off when I ask and does it brightly, but not nervous, you know? And if I just stop, he goes like, yeah, I'm good. I can relax. Okay. And you know, we talk about sometimes about square halts and this. For now, any walk, any stop, it's really rather loose. You know, I'm not getting too picky with these things. We can refine that later. But for now, it is kind of big, broad brushstroke. Okay. And I'm going to ask him to walk on again. Nico, walk. So now we're walking a bit. And I'm going to do a left-hand turn. And that was quite nice. And I'm going to ask him to stop again. Excellent. And that time he stopped with his head a bit lower. He seemed to know what it was and it didn't. It was a little more confidence in that and a little bit more balance in that, frankly. So I'm going to feed that again. That's really good. And he seems overall, Nico seems more relaxed. Okay. And now I'm going to ask him to walk on again. Walk on. Okay. That time his head's a little high. Maybe I ask him to walk off a little earlier or something. I don't know. His head's a little bit high, you know, but we are going to the end towards the end of the arena now. So maybe that's something to do with it. And it's getting a little windy, but that's okay. I'll just keep walking a little bit until I feel like he relaxes a bit. Okay, he feels more relaxed. I'm going to ask for a slight left-hand turn. Perfect. And I clicked and reinforced. It clicked and now I'm reinforcing. But what I liked about that is when I asked for that left-hand turn, it was taking him away from the windy end of the arena, which is okay. That's not my deal today. We'll work on de-spooking at another lesson. But for now, when he relaxed, I said, this is what's going to work for you. Each time you relax and listen and relax and listen, you're going to get reinforced. And you know what? For now, I'm going to end that there with him. I think that was really good. I'm making a conscious choice to not get off by the end of the arena where is the exit gate, because a lot of times we can make it where they just want to go there. So you get off and it's over. So I'm getting off, you know, I'm like 2/3 of the way down the arena. Okay, so I'm off now. And actually I'm going to click and feed him for that as well. And there we go. And we're going to kind of make our way back towards the gate now. But what I liked about that, you can do this for longer periods of time. But you get the idea. I'm getting off now because this is what's best for Nico. The short and sweet, he is going to learn in this process because he's like, wow, that didn't go where I thought it always goes. That was actually quite nice. That's part of his learning process. So I want to make it kind of extra short for him. You can do longer, but you get the idea of what we're working on. And it seems rather repetitious and dull, but it's really important to build a really strong reinforcement history. You know, we're actually doing what we call classically conditioning the elements that are part of the riding. We want him to love it. And like with my horse, you know, the horses I've had for a longer time, like Mint, you know, I've had forever. Anybody could ride Mint. People that have never fed him and would never feed him. And he's like, he just looks at the canter part as it's classically conditioned. And he's like, why wouldn't I canter? I love to canter. I don't know why I like to canter, but I like to canter. But it's because we've made this association so strong that it makes him feel good to canter. And that's where we want to get to. But it takes a little bit of repetition to really build it up, especially with a horse who maybe has an unpleasant history or if they're shut down. Sometimes you have the most obedient and compliant horse, but in there, they could be in a state of learned helplessness where they're just abiding. They're not really enjoying it. So we want to turn it into something they enjoy and choose to do. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and take Nico back. I'm going to take his tack off of him. I'm going to get him settled and back in his stall or his field, wherever you want to put your guys, and put your stuff away and get everybody in a safe place and turn off your podcast. You can turn it off before you do that. And then we will meet back and we will have a little homework assignment and a little review about some things that may have gone on. Anyway, I'm going to say good job, Nico, and hopefully you're saying the same to your horse. Okay, talk to you in a minute.
Stop worrying about what you're feeding in your training sessions. Give your horse a treat that's genuinely good for them. Grazer's NutriTreats are the forage-based solution that makes healthy training simple.
They are the ultimate high-value reinforcer, yet they're safe for your horse. No added sugar, and they're even safe for metabolic horses. Each treat includes beneficial electrolytes and probiotics to support his gut and maintain balance.
Training should be fun and focused. We love Grazer's treats for their non-crumbly, non-sticky, pocket-friendly design. You'll love them too. And yes, we do use them in our sessions, and our horses love them. See the difference in your horse's focus and health without the worry. Order your 5-pound bag today at equinebalancesupport.com. That's balanced with an ED. Equinebalancesupport.com.
Okay, well, my Nico, he sure was good. And he's eating and he's back in his stall.
We progress through our training sessions and exercises. We talk about feeding the horse each time you use the clicker.
Okay, so hopefully that went really good for you. You know what I imagine? I imagine it was a little boring and felt a little simple, but that's okay. That's what it needs to be for this part of it. And it's a great way just to build some repetition, get, you know, and you don't have to do much. Make it simple, make it the safest places and build up this time. Do you remember when we talked about teaching the clicker? We talked about the classic conditioning, that operant conditioning. And I encourage you to do 3 5-minute sessions a day for 3 days or 2 5-minute sessions a day for 4 days. Didn't have to be all right in a row, but it was really that repetition of doing it a few times a day for those few days to really get this to start making those neural pathways in the brain. So with our horses, we don't really tend to ride them 3 times a day. That's a little trickier, but we do want to consider that kind of repetition. So I know this seems simple and you can build up walking a little longer and sometimes earlier and sometimes longer, and you should feel like your horse is actually stopping. When you click, it should feel like they stop and they check in, like they look and think, "Ooh, I just earned some sort of reward. They told me that." Now, if you have a horse that starts stopping too abruptly, so, and that can happen, and sometimes it's a phase they get through, but what I'll start doing is I'll support them for another half stride or so. So if I feel like, okay, we're walking, I'm going to click, but I'll just do a little support so it comes down to a nice, natural, soft stop. So if you're getting one a little too bright, just to give that little extra support and then feed them when they stop nicely. So don't make that too long in between. It's just a half stride or perhaps one stride in between where it's just nice and relaxed. So we just did walk and stop and the simplest, shortest little things. That's what Nico needed. And that's a great place to start with any horse. So what I want you to do is over the next couple of weeks, build that up to it's a little bit more. But remember, as you build that duration, I want you to still go back and sometimes click on the early stuff. So it is, just still sometimes say, nice response to my cue. Nice Canada part. So, and you're going to build up over the time to a little bit of trotting and then a little bit of cantering. And as that's going quite well, you can start to introduce some of the little criteria as they kind of, you think, okay, this part's really good now. Now what I want is maybe a little bit more collection or a little bit more, you know, whatever it might be. So remember, big, broad brush strokes. We slowly refine that process down without making it such a big jump that it becomes frustrating and not worth the while. But now you're finally putting something in it for your horse. And I tell you, it's a game changer. Anyway, well, I hope that all makes sense to you guys and you have a good plan for going forward. Naturally, it's going to be a little different for everybody because your horse is going to be in a little different place. But I'm going to caution you, don't get greedy trainer syndrome. It'd be better to go a little slower and build a little extra repetition and making it solid instead of just all of a sudden expecting everything. Just hang on there and really build that reinforcement history with that classic conditioning. Okay. Well, you know, you can listen on most of your favorite podcasts to not only this episode, you can go back to listen to the older episodes, which a lot of times are really helpful to go back and get reminder courses. And you can listen on the Horse Radio Network app, which makes it super easy.
The conversation doesn't end here. Every horse deserves a happy, confident partnership, and we want to help you build that.
If you're the kind of person who is truly dedicated to making that happen, you'll want to join us in our community and watch your relationship with your horse become what you've always hoped it could be.
Head on over to our website to explore Shauna Karish Equine membership. You get immediate access to all of our courses, live coaching, uncut problem-solving videos, and the ever-so-helpful Learning Lab study groups.
The fastest way to level up your training is to join us. So find everything at shaunakarish.com today.
Okay. Well, you guys, it has been fun. And I know taking this under saddle is going to be amazing for you. Until next time, enjoy getting your horse on target. Bye-bye.